You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. It's become common in Wisconsin for school districts to go directly to voters to ask for increased property tax funding. These school referendums have seen high approval rates in recent years. You might think that the pandemic and its economic devastation would reverse that trend, but a new report found that's not happening. The Wisconsin Policy Forum report shows that school referendums this fall and spring were overwhelmingly accepted. The referendums also transcend political divides, gaining approval in both Democrat and Republican-leading communities. WUWM education reporter Emily Files spoke with Policy Forum analyst Ari Brown, who authored this report. He begins by explaining the school referendums that were on the November 3rd ballot.
Wisconsin is a, pretty politically and historically divided state. We know that the general election was quite close in Wisconsin, but that was not really the case with these school referenda. So yeah, 51 school referenda on various ballots, and 43 of which passed, which is about 84%. It's quite a high rate, and if you combine the referenda that were on the November ballots with the referenda that were on the ballots back in April, there's a passage rate this year of 85.6%, which is the second highest in at least 30 years.
So the pandemic has affected the economy and education so much. Does it seem like that had any impact on the school referendums?
Yeah. So back in 2018, we wrote another report about this, and we hypothesized that there was an effect because we were noticing in 2016, 2017, 2018, that the referenda were starting to pass at really high rates, and there was a good economy at the time, but those high rates have continued into 2020 at a time where the economy is, quite unstable. So they've shown the ability to be quite resilient to whatever else is going on in the economy. There seems to have been a lot of, resilience, and voters still really do show favor towards these referenda, despite, their direct impact being an increase in property taxes at a time when, many households may be able to afford less in terms of the amount of taxation that they're willing to handle. So yeah, we did see that they're pretty resilient. One thing that I will note is that we don't really know the counterfactual here. There were 111 total referenda this year, which is a lot, but it's actually the lowest in a general election year, so even numbered years, since 2012. So there were fewer referenda pitched to voters this year. So one thing that we might have seen had the economy been better is that there just might have been more referenda on the ballot, and districts might be more receptive to knowing, like, okay, if we pitch a referendum at this time, it's going to pass or it's not going to pass. One thing that I think is interesting to note is that there were eight total referenda that failed in November, and of those eight, five failed with still at least 48% of the people voting in favor, so really, really close races. So what that might signal is that, districts might be getting smarter about when they pitch referenda to voters. At the same time, though, there were 95 referenda that passed this year, so we can say pretty safely that voters are not rejecting the idea of a referendum, and that, if anything, they have been quite resilient to these kind of big economic changes that have been happening recently.
So the pandemic and the economic downturn, it might have made districts more reluctant to put referendums on the ballot, but it apparently didn't make voters more reluctant to approve those property tax increases for schools.
Right, exactly. And, the Marquette Law Poll has posed, certain questions to the effect of, how do voters interact with their schools over time? And in general, just looking at the conglomeration of those questions, voters tend to be willing to raise their own property taxes to fund their schools, even when, politically people might be more divided. That's one thing that there seems to be a bit more consensus on, even if it's not, 100%. Public education in the state of Wisconsin seems to be still quite popular.
So we'll get to the political question in a minute, but you said that the Wisconsin Policy Forum hypothesized a couple years ago that the economic situation does have an impact on referendum approval rates. So what was your reaction to the fact that it didn't seem to have an effect in 2020, where we're experiencing such a huge economic downturn.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that, you know, voters in a time when a lot of people have lost jobs, a lot of people, you know, the pandemic has made it harder for them to work. There's not as much income to go around right now, might be more receptive to seeing a referendum on their ballot and saying, you know, in another year, I might be able to afford more property taxes, but this year I can't. But instead, what we're seeing is that, you know, public schools are really visible, perhaps the most visible of any type of like local public service. Everyone knows someone who attends a school, is a teacher. They're quite visible in basically every local community. So it might just be one of those things where people say, you know, I have seen the effects that my school has in my local community. You know, I've gone to a football game on a Friday night before, and if the school says it needs this this new revenue in order to, you know, have a new building or implement this new program, that's something that I'm willing to you know, marginally raise my property taxes in order to fund. And I'll take that trade-off.
So we've been talking about the pandemic and its economic effects and how that relates to school referendums. What about politics? What did you find there?
Yeah, so this was kind of what spurred us taking on this topic in the first place. One of the things that we noticed is that, you know, save for the few referenda that happened around Dane County, most of these referenda were on the ballot in places that we think of as more traditional red counties, vote, you know, usually more in favor of Republicans. And, you know, just the general idea of a referendum is raising property taxes. And the idea of raising property taxes tends to fall along pretty partisan lines. But so we just noticed, you know, right off the bat that there were these big, big gaps between places that, you know, voted in favor of the Republican presidential candidate, you know, by 20, 30, 40 points, and yet still approved school referenda. And what that said to us was that, you know, this is potentially a topic that really does transcend at least federal partisan politics. We noted that 30 of the 43 referenda that passed, passed in districts that that voted in favor of the Republican presidential candidate. So it's a big majority of them. There's not a lot of physical land in the places that voted for the Democratic presidential candidate. So yeah, I mean, really all over the state, we have a map at the end of our report that kind of shows where these referenda pass. And it's really, you know, from rural northern Marinette County all the way down to, you know, Rock, Walworth, Dane County. In every corner of the state, these referenda were passing.
Can you give some specific examples of districts where referendum approval rates did not align with presidential preferences?
Yeah, I mean, it's really pretty unequivocal. We noted in the report that so there were four referenda, three districts where the rate of the referendum passing outpaced the rate, the vote share in favor of Joe Biden by at least 30 points. Two of those were the two referenda in the Niagara School District, and then one of the two Omro referenda and Auburndale, one of the two Auburndale referenda. But then I think we also note that there's another 10 to 15 or so that the margin was between 20 and 30 points, and then another 10 to 15 where the margin was between 20 to 30, and then the margin was between 10 and 20. So, you know, really basically everywhere that's not, you know, Dane County, and then the few places where the referenda didn't pass, you can pretty much safely assume that there was a big gap between the vote in favor of the referendum and the vote in favor of President-elect Biden.
So school referendum approval appears to transcend political divides in Wisconsin, a very politically divided state. How do you interpret that?
You know, one of the reasons that this might be is just as we go about like our day-to-day lives, I don't think people tend to think of school districts, their children attending a school, necessarily something that's political. It's really, I think, just the willingness of people to see that this is something that does tend to transcend politics. And because of that, because of how visible it is and how integral it is to a lot of communities, I think people who, you know, might not be willing to, let's say, raise their taxes in order to fund, you know, a building for a new library in the area, or, you know, for increased police services. If they're not willing to fund those things, they still might be able to turn around and justify, you know, oh, like my school district is really in need of this revenue, so I'm going to vote in favor of it because, you know, I know so many people whose lives are so intertwined with what happens in the school district here that this is going to be a really positive thing for them. So I think it's really just that transcending of local, state, and federal politics that happens in the way that people relate to their schools that is one of the potential causes of this.
One thing that the political divisiveness that seems to be everywhere now hasn't gotten to yet.
Yeah. And you know, it's a reason to be, you know, a little bit hopeful, I think. We note at the end of this report that, especially in Wisconsin, right? Like, you know, the margin between the two presidential candidates, both in 2020 and 2016, has been like razor thin. It's a really divided place. It's been a hot year politically outside of even COVID. But it's encouraging to see that people, you know, are seemingly coming together and making the topic of school funding something that is more entering that bipartisan space.
Ari Brown is a data and research analyst at the Wisconsin Policy Forum. He spoke with WUWM's education reporter, Emily Files.